Welcome to Reformation Platform Ministry. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please listen with your heart as the servant of God brings forth the Word of Life.
He will do everything, you know, to forgive you. He will do anything as long as you are trying. Nobody is perfect. People say those things. But do you know the same people who make such excuses will tell you that ignorance of the law is not an excuse, right or wrong? Do you beg in a law court that you are sorry? Is that the matter? That's not the matter. That's what the law says, and you have broken the law. The same people who are saying before God that, you know, he doesn't matter if I'm living in sin. I know he loves me. Yes, he loves you. I know he loves sinners even if he hates their sin. You are still correct until you say the next one, which is what? We will be trying small, and we will hope maybe we'll enter heaven. Nobody enters heaven by mistake. What did I say? No. It's not possible. Amen. This is a problem with religion. Because what is the thing that religion, what's the best thing that religion can give you? Improvement. That's what it will tell you, to keep improving. You know, that's why you hear a church person say, "You see me, my mouth is not good." Or somebody else will tell you, "See, that's me, that's who I am." Is actually correct because of that old man. It will always show, you know, there will be a signature for you to know who is at work. The primary reason Jesus came is to put that old man to death. Amen. So, what then is this old man? I think that's the question here, right? The old man is simply the spirit, the nature, and the power of the devil that is actively at work in the sons of disobedience. What did I call the old man? The spirit, the nature, and the power of the devil that is what? Actively at work in the sons of disobedience. And do you know the fearful thing about this old man? He has so identified with man, such that, you know, when I saw those things in the New Testament, I became afraid. Such that he has his own desires and lusts. And when he works them out in you, you will think you are the one acting, yet you are not the one. An evil spirit that is indwelling you could see a girl he likes and he wants to sleep with that girl, but you are what he will use. That's why I told you the other time that when that man says, "See, that's who I am," he's correct. Because it's two people talking at the same time. Do you get the idea now? He's using, because he's dwelling in man's spirit. So he will use the vocal cords. He will speak. Yet, you know, by identity, two have become what? One. And he can be wearing cassock. That's why you see pastors, you know, sexually abusing children. It is that old man. That old man that looks for and invents new ways of sinning. That old man that keeps provoking God and poking its fingers in the hands of God. It knows that his own life is already destroyed. Do you understand? But he needs to use God's children against God. Because it knows that God is a God of justice. And no matter how much God is a God of love, God will not look away from what his word has said about sin. That's why I was afraid for that man. When he said he's the righteousness of God. And it doesn't matter what he's doing and all of those things. And I'm just like, ah. I couldn't stand up from my bed. Because I was just wondering. Ah. At 50 years old, you are still saying this kind of thing? It's not that you are not a married man, you're a married man, yet you're a serial adulterer, and you are saying God loves you. And then I remembered that is that old man that is in charge of religion. Amen. And it is religion that has taught men that it doesn't matter. Oh, he loves you. Tell 10 people he loves me. It doesn't matter what my errors are. He loves me. They'll say, you know, a poor sinner tells another poor sinner, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Now, because he has become so much one with man, spirit, soul, and body. So God looked at it. What is the best way to deliver this man? You know, it is like when you, who knows Gary? You know Gary? Who knows yam flour, Elubo? You know when you mix the two? Can you separate it? That's as bad as the satanic mixture with the human spirit is. It's not possible. You can't take it out. It must be by the hand of God. And it must come through a mystery. Hallelujah. It must what? So when God decided that Jesus will redeem man, what did he plan to do? Jesus will come and he will be a substitute for that man. That is all what the old man, Satan, had been using this man to do. What will happen now? And of which that man cannot go free. Because it's not that he doesn't have the will of his own. He has. But because he's depraved and corrupt, he doesn't have any choice. He must go the way, even if he wants to do right, he must still be evil. So he must go the way of Satan. So when God wanted to rescue that man, what did he do? You come. Let me use you as an example. Let us say this is the man. Let us say this is Jesus. Do you understand? Jesus now said, okay, everything this man has done or has ever done, I will take the punishment. Amen. But once I've taken the punishment, what should happen to this man? He will go free because he won't be under condemnation anymore since I've agreed to pay the price. Do you get the idea now? So, but what he didn't say is this. The moment Jesus went to that cross, you know, I told you that that man is not alone. There's actually the old man inside the spirit. So when he's going to the cross, who is also going? Oh, you are getting it now. You are very smart. So how many people actually got crucified? Two, not one man. So the Lord got crucified, and whatever it was that was controlling this man, what happened also, was crucified. An end came. It is because the cross is not preached. That's why you don't understand that this man was completely and totally and unquestionably freed. The other side that is not preached, all right, is that this man, not only that he is free, he's not free to now be reckless and believe anyhow again. He was bought with a price. That's the second reason why Jesus came. He came to redeem that man. Not only that he came to deliver him, he also came to do what? To buy him back for his maker. Do you understand? Huh? Now, once he has bought him back, you see, the blood of Jesus Christ, that is the certificate of our redemption. Satan cannot say that Jesus did not pay it. He didn't pay the full price. He did. So there's actually no right anymore that belongs to the devil. And he knows. But as long as you don't preach the cross, what will happen? You will still be thinking that Satan has some right, when he doesn't have any right again. Amen. Please sit down. And the third reason that I gave before was what? To not only that he has come to redeem us by paying a price, he has come to reclaim and to repossess us. What's the meaning of the word reclaim? Huh? To take back something that originally belongs to somebody. Are you getting it now? So I go on again. I'm back again on number one. So what do I mean when I say the old man is simply the spirit, the nature, and then the power of the devil? Huh? Can somebody read? We have to be fast too, because we don't have time. Ephesians 2:2. Then somebody else can read Matthew 12:43-45. Yes.
In which at one time
you walked habitually.
You were following the course and the fashion of this world.
You were under the sway of. If you were reading Amplified Classic, if you say under the sway of and under the control of that demon spirit. Somebody else should open. Oh, you haven't gotten there. Okay, go on.
You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the head.
Yeah.
You were obedient to.
And under the control of. That demon spirit. Can you see that now? The spirit of the devil. That is still constantly at work.
In the sense of disobedience.
You know, worldly people don't even know that there's a spirit behind worldliness. They don't know. There's a spirit behind this thing is what is raining now. There's a spirit behind it. As long as a man is under that old man, even if you don't want to be worldly, you will be worldly. You didn't get me. I know the system of this world, they know how to give new names to old sins. They will tell you what is trending now. Eh? When I was younger, what they used to call it is what is raining. You see how raining has become trending. Two people may be talking, you know, when we got to his house, you know, since we're alone, we just took our time, you know, we made out, and, you know, if you are not a worldly person, you won't understand what just happened. What they are saying is that they fornicated. Yeah? But they have a way of giving new names to old sin. If the same person said, you know, when we got to his house, we fornicated, you know, there's a way fornication sounds. It sounds sinful, right? But if we say make out, maybe they just make out. You think it's normal. What is abnormal? It normalizes what is abnormal. The spirit. Jesus came to put a permanent end. He came to separate that gari and that elubo that has been mixed. He pulled man out of that impossible mixture by choosing to die for man. So by his own power, he took the man out, and then the moment he took the man out and the man confesses him as Lord, you know, the man cannot even confess him as Lord without agreeing to die. I hope you know. So, see, Jesus died on the cross. Is it not so? By faith, what do you say? Me too. I did what? I died. So when you say I died, you are saying that two things has happened. Who I used to be actually did what? Actually died. And what used to control me? What happened to it too? He died. Now, by his own death, how do you know that the word death does not mean cessation of existence? It means separation from a realm of existence to another realm of existence. Do you get the idea now? So when you say I died, that means I've been separated from the old life that I was living. And whatever that was controlling me before has also been what? Separated from me. Please, do you understand? Not only that, beyond the fact that I died, then the next important thing happens. The moment I confess my death, it is because I'm now ready to accept what? His life. What did I say? So, Christianity, why it's not a religion, why it's a relationship, is because your life will end. Amen. But maybe because it may be difficult for churches to get people. So that side is not emphasized. It's okay. You'll be changing little by little. You know, I told you improvement. You say, but I still dance to disco. And I still have I'm sure they have new names of calling disco now. And I still listen to worldly music. I say, yeah, I understand that. But what you can do is, you know, you can sing God's songs, but the same beats. So you will still remain under the old man, but you may be carrying Bible. Because worldliness belongs to them. And because you don't understand that by crucifixion, you will be separated from this world. Amen? You will no longer go in that direction again. Are you getting it now? So, and as long as you are still holding on to some things that belongs to them, what happens to you now automatically? You are still their property. So demons can, you know, you are like a door or a house, sorry. Demons can open the door of your life anyhow and come in, use you for whatever they want to use. Okay, they may say, okay, even if you are not having full possession, money yellow. Money shaking. You think I'm joking. Read for us now, Matthew 12, 43 to 45. When an unclean spirit has gone out from a man, he goes through dry places. What do they always look for? Rest. And when he doesn't find any, what will he say?
Then it says, I will go back to my house.
Can you see what evil spirits call men?
Jesus.
My house.
From which I came.
Well, don't be in a hurry. So except you allow your own spirit to house God, they will fill you. And they don't mind though, 1 million of them can live inside just one you. I just say 1 million. Because that man that has a legion, that has 6,000 demons. When Jesus said, what's your name? He said, my name is Legion, because we are many. He even has quarters inside one man. Can you see how wide man's spirit is? Yes?
And when it arrives.
No. Go back again.
Then it says. I will go back to my house.
I will go back to my house.
From which I came out.
Where I came out from. That's why I'm telling you that the human spirit. See, Jesus living in you. Your human spirit is like a living accommodation. Do you understand? That's where God lives. But if you will not allow God to live inside your human spirit and then control you from inside out, all manner of things that are not up to God and that are not up to you will control you and they will live in you. Do you understand now? That's what will happen. Yeah? That's what will happen. Yes? So when he gets in,
He finds the place unoccupied.
Can you see that now? He finds the place what? I think KJV will say empty.
Sweat.
Can, don't be. Why are you in a hurry? He finds it unoccupied. What happens to the Spirit of God? What did he let us see against them? He won't come in. What of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus? He won't live inside. I just want him to save me, but he should still leave me to go and hustle. And when a demon is returning, will he announce he's coming? Will he announce that he's coming? Will he announce that I am coming, no, I'm coming back inside you tomorrow? Wouldn't you have found something to do? He found a place empty or unoccupied. Yes?
Swept.
Put in order.
And decorated. Then it goes and brings.
Now, when he sees that, so it already knows somebody else had come in who had put that life in order. Is it not so? And since he's afraid of what will happen in case that person returns, he goes for reinforcement. Do you understand now? So he goes and he does what?
He brings with it seven other spirits.
It brings seven other spirits.
More wicked than itself.
More what?
Wicked.
And more powerful also than itself. He doesn't mind to be the one that will be doing houseboy. As long as he has a house. That's a human being. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. He will be a houseboy. Just let him have a place he can stay.
And they go in and make their own.
Then these eight spirits go in.
And make their home.
And make what? Their home there. I'm praying for you. Now, you know that the thief does not come, but for what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Is it not so? Jesus does not steal from anybody. Jesus did not, he didn't steal you. He bought you. He didn't borrow you. What did I say? Jesus did not borrow you. He bought you. And in fact, he paid full price. These ones are thieves. They will steal your life. You know, carry your human spirit away. Carry your soul away. Carry your body away. And they will be using your body to do their evil. A man will see a woman passing. Not, he wasn't planning to look at any woman. And he will be under pressure that he needs to look. It's as if his life depends on that looking. You understand? Why? Because that is his lust. It wants to look at that woman. Didn't the Bible say in Genesis 6 that the sons of God came down and they saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful and they desired them? Did they not marry them? Genesis chapter 6. They married them. You know, because they came in human form. And they slept with those women. That was why God wiped off the world of Noah. Because they were trying to wipe off pure human beings. They wanted to mix, they wanted to turn man to mixed breed. So God wiped them off. And the angels that were responsible for those things, he chained them under the earth in hell. Or in the place that we call Tartarus, a prison for wicked angels. When a woman is hearing a Yahoo boy saying, "I will take care of you," you know it's a Yahoo boy. It's not that you don't know. But something keeps telling you, even though it's lying, but what he's saying is interesting. Listen, just listen. Just enjoy what he says. Just enjoy. Then he will take what do you call a baby? A hand fan. He's blowing you. Blowing the lies to you, letting you hear. And you'll be believing what you know is a lie. So it's not just men. Men are moved by what they see, but women are moved by what they hear. Is it not so? It is so. Not that you don't know it's a lie. But that spirit wants to be, it wants you to lie. Eh? Because it wants something from that other person. But because they don't have hands, like, you know, your own normal physical hands, it is your own hand they want to use to collect that money. Eh? And it is your body that they will use to pay. Amen. Are you following me? So when Jesus came, it was to put the old man to death so that you'll be free from the spirit, the nature, and the power of the devil that is actively at work in the sons of disobedience. Yes, wrap up that place.
And the last condition of that man
becomes worse
than
the first condition of that man.
So also shall it be with this wicked generation.
Thank you. So when I'm saying the nature of the devil, what's the nature of the devil? You see it in Galatians 5 from verse 19 to verse 21. You also see it in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. I won't be able to explain it, but as they are reading it, you will see the nature there. So wherever you see anybody behaving like that, you know who his daddy is. Amen. You know what? So this man I just told you, saying, is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The nature that he portrayed is the nature of the devil. I don't know how for over 15 years you have been a serial womanizer and then you believe that Jesus loves you. Admit, I don't understand this. Jesus may love you, but we know who your daddy is, we know. Jesus said it in John 8:44. He said what? You are of your father, the devil. And his desires, that's what you will do. He said, because he was a liar from the beginning, and he does not abide where there's truth. And when he tells a lie, he's just doing what is natural to him, what's normal to him. Because he's a liar and the father of all lies. Yes? Who is reading for me? Galatians 5, 19 to 21.
Now the doings, practices of the flesh are clear, that is obvious.
So please hold on. When you want to know the nature of the old man, it is what? Oh, it is clear. It is obvious. It's not hidden. You know, let us assume that. Let's just assume that this chair is wooden. Eh? If this chair is wooden, whose work is this then? Who makes wooden chairs? Carpenter. Abi? Or a furniture man, whatever it is. They are both carpenter. Amen. Right? In the same way, when you see a mug or a pot, a clay pot, huh? Whose work is that? That's the work of a potter. Right? When you see an automobile, that's the work of who? An engineer. In the same way, you can see the nature of the devil or the nature of God. Because see, just as you have the old man, Jesus is the new man. Amen? So, with Jesus, what now do you have? The spirit, the nature, and the power of who? Of God. Just as for the old man, you have the spirit, the nature, and the power of the devil. For the new man, what do you have? The spirit, the nature, and the power of God. Okay? What are the works? Or how can we know the nature or the fruits?
They are immorality.
They are immorality. Sexual immorality.
Impurity.
Indecency.
Idolatry.
Oh, hold on. Don't be in a hurry. Even though I won't explain. I'll just touch it little by little and then I'll move on. What is indecency? When you're doing or wearing or saying things that are not decent. You are wearing clothes. You can't bend down to pick something. You are wearing clothes. All the towels at the weather bus stop, they are hitting you on the bum bum. And you say that it is fashion or it is modernization. No, it is because the nature of that old man is dwelling inside you. If you have ever felt that something is pushing you to buy some types of clothes, what is it though? It is that old man. Sir, I want to wear that one to wear clothes. Because they are the ones that produce those clothes. You understand? So they must promote it if they produce it. You understand? And you cannot belong to demons and be hoping that you'll eventually end up with God. Who does that? You will take one, and you can't have the two. Yes?
Idolatry.
Today is not the day. That one is an entire topic. Idol worship. Sorcery.
Enmity.
Strife.
Jealousy. Anger.
Strife is fighting, no? You say me. I don't like nonsense. I can't stand nonsense. It's not you. It is that man, that old man.
Jealousy.
Anger.
Ill temper.
Hold on. Can you see anger separating from ill temper? Can you see anger separated from ill temper? Can you see? What is ill temper? That thing that makes you touchy. You know, if you take electric wire, I'll just look at you and put a little on you. You know, it will make you react. And that's ill temper. That anytime they just take something and you just start misbehaving. If you look at all these works of the flesh, by the time you look at the fruits of the Holy Spirit or the nature of the Spirit of God, you find out that is diametrically opposed. Instead of ill temper and anger and all of those things, what you have is patience. Who knows patience? If you go to 1 Corinthians 13, I'm not saying you should go there, because I'm just touching it briefly, because we are still going far. Okay? If you go to 1 Corinthians 13, and it began to talk about the nature of love, it will say love suffers long. What of ill temper? Don't even start. The moment I'm even noticing that that's where you are going, I stop you there. Abby? You have not even done it. I just notice it looks like from my calculations, that's where you are heading. Then I just stop you. If you bring it hot for me, I'll bring it hotter. It is the nature of that old man. Amen. It's the nature of that old man. Yes?
Selfishness.
Divisions.
Dissensions.
Party spirit. Always constantly looking for, our own against them. Did you notice what they did in our last meeting? Get us a bill. Let us just keep quiet and observe. It is that old man. Yeah?
Factions.
APC, PDP. Are they not factions? Yeah, factions. Even inside the same party again, there are still subsects. If it was NLT 1996 edition, it says that party spirit that you just read, it says the feeling that nobody else is right except those in your own little group. That everybody else is wrong except in your own little group. That is the nature of the old man. We have seen the spirit. So we see the things that this spirit does. These things that you just mentioned or listed, are they not what you call normal human behavior? Remember when I started, I told you that the enemy so became one with man, that when he stands, it's actually two different people, yet it's one man. Huh? So what God wanted to achieve by putting it to death is that when a man stands also, what will happen? It will just be one man, and yet it's not just one person. John 10:30, quickly. Yes. Is that easy English? The Father and I, what? Are one person. Just as Christ will now be the one living inside you, and you remember when we were reading about that spirit in Matthew 12:43-45, and we're talking about how that spirit calls a man his house. Who will now be living inside that man's spirit now? Jesus. Do you get the idea? Because he has chased them out. So you can easily say that I and Jesus Christ, we are what? One person. Where he's now the one living his life inside you and using your physical faculties to fulfill the purpose of God that was initially being used by evil spirits to produce rebellion against God. Amen. Have you gotten it up to that point? Yes? Read on quickly now. You are reading Galatians 5.
Envy.
Yes.
Drunkenness.
Yes.
Carousing.
Yes.
And the like.
Yes.
I warned you beforehand.
I've warned you beforehand.
Just as I did previously.
Yes.
That those who do such things.
Those who practice such things.
Shall not inherit
the they will not enter the kingdom of God. Let nobody deceive you. The only reason that man committed adultery and he could be telling himself is the righteousness of God is because somebody has lied to him. Amen. He does not know that immoral people will not enter into God's kingdom. If we allow them to come, they'll be sleeping with all the holy women. You don't understand. You allow an immoral man to enter into heaven. What will happen to all the women? He will start raping them. If you allow a covetous man to enter, he will start stealing. Because how will you see that it is diamond, pure diamond, that they are using as washing basin? He will find out how can he dismantle it. So such people, there's no place for them in the kingdom of God. There's no place for them. And, you know, people that envy and are bitter. And, no. There's no place for such people. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. We have to be fast,
Do you not know that the unrighteous and the wrongdoers will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Do not be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
That is misled.
Yes.
Neither the impure and immoral.
The impure and the immoral.
Not idolaters.
Hold on. You know, I wish you are reading from New King James. It will say, neither fornicators or adulterers. So that we name people normally the way they are. You see, those people saying that they have side chick and not their side chicks. Nobody is going to enter into heaven with them or amongst them. Because if you allow a side chick to enter heaven, what will happen? You are holy already. You say it doesn't matter. I will share you. God does not want people to share people. Really want that? Yes.
Neither fornicators.
No adulterers.
No adulterers.
No homosexuals.
No sodomites. No thieves.
All of those people that dress like a woman. It is a spirit. Shall we remember that man that we saw that was using contact lenses? And you know, when a woman sees a man, she should have shamefacedness. Have you? She will look away. He was looking away. Mummy said, "Are you a man to be?" He saw other men. He's doing like this. I said, "Me, what? There's a spirit inside this man, and if he's wearing one containing a man, Jesus, that's called an effeminate spirit. It's as if they have sucked away all what makes him man. It has been sucked away from him. Of course, the next natural evolution." Since they believe in evolution, is that I'm a woman in a man's body. Is that not what they do now? Mm-hmm. So, there's always further depths of sin. Yes.
Nor thieves.
Nor thieves.
Nor covetous.
Yes.
Nor drunkards.
Yes.
Nor revilers.
Yes.
Nor extortioners.
Yes.
Will inherit the kingdom of God.
None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. No, they won't. There's no room for them. Is that verse 10?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Now, you can see it again. What is the old man? The old man is simply the spirit, the nature, and the power of the devil. That is actively at work in the sons of disobedience. What about the power? You see, that thing, that makes you to just naturally resent God. You can't say God did something against you. That thing that withholds you from making a decision that will be genuine, that is the power of Satan. That thing that holds you back, that thing that naturally wants you to just hold back when it comes to God, that thing that will not make you run towards God, that's the power of Satan. And that's what Jesus Christ came to break. Amen. If you look at it here, there are two scriptures there. You can read it quickly, but what I really want is 2 Corinthians 4:3 to 4, even though there's still Acts 26:18.
But even if our gospel is veiled,
even if our gospel is hidden,
it is veiled to those who are perishing.
It's only hidden or veiled to the people that are perishing.
Whose minds the God of this age has blinded?
Whose mind? Satan, the God of this age, he has blinded their minds.
Who do not believe?
So they can't believe.
Lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ.
So he blinds them so that they won't believe. Because if he doesn't blind them, the light of the gospel will shine to them. They will see the benefits of what Christ came to do and what he brought. So what does he do? He puts blindness upon them. That's the power of the devil. And yet, when a man turns to the Lord, what happens? Scripture says that veil is taken away. So even the thing he's calling power is not power, because all power is in whose hands? Jesus Christ. But when a man has not met Jesus, all power is in whose hand? Satan. Do you get the idea now? All right. Now, I said that is actively at work in the sons of disobedience. Now, this same spirit, nature, and satanic power has equally dominated mankind since the fall of man. You see Satan telling Jesus, showing him the whole world and saying that I can give you this whole world because it was delivered up to me. Do you understand? And whoever I like, I can give it to. All you need to do is just bow down and worship me. Because he was the one who had dominated mankind since the fall of man. At least until Christ did what to came. Amen. The same person or personality. Oh, okay, sorry about that. It is known by so many names. This old man is known by what?
So many names.
Yet, it is the same person or personality. You see that in John 8:44 and James 4:7, so that you know who it is. All right? It is Satan. It is sometimes called old man. It is sometimes called the old man, the old nature, the flesh, sin, the old self, carnal mind, the human nature, and so on and so forth. However, it is the same personality, Satan himself, the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that is now actively at work in the sons of disobedience. Now, listen to this. Since God does not want improvement, that is, God is not looking for religion. Do you understand? Since he doesn't want improvement, because that is what religion propagates. You keep doing the same thing over and over again, and yet, even you know that Kila is gone. Instead, what he wants is a total Exchange of life. What does he want? Total exchange. For that old, what he wants to give you is what, to what is new. And a total replacement with another life. Where the person that is living now is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And not the old man that was ruling and living and controlling before. Okay? Now, what do I mean by this total exchange? Remember I was saying the other time, when Jesus now saves you, something happens when he saves you. The moment he saves you, who actually now has right over you? Jesus. Do you get the idea? And then, when the day you come to Jesus, the day you accept him, what happens to your life? Or what happens to you? Mm-mm. You can't accept Jesus except you have died. Because that old life must be separated. Before you will live again, you must die first. Then you will now resurrect. That resurrection. So you know when somebody dies, what happens to the spirit inside? No, it's separated from him. When the spirit is no longer inside the body, that's what you call physical death. Is it not so? So in the same way, when Jesus died on the cross, and we also died by faith, what happens now? There's a separation. You understand? If there was a life again, it's because a spirit has come back in again. Do you understand? Now, the person that comes back in again is who? Jesus. You understand? So I say it's a total replacement. Okay? It's an exchange of life. Amen. And it's a total replacement with another life. Not the life that was there before, but now a new man. And that new man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So that's the number one reason why Jesus came into this world. God does not want improvement. Look at how many years you have been trying to improve. Or you have been trying to change. Even when you cry and promise God, I won't do it again. The one that you do next will be worse. Amen. I was sharing with somebody, and I was telling the person that when the life of Christ comes into you, you will stop struggling. You will stop even struggling to please God. God doesn't want you to struggle to please him, because you can't. Amen. Instead, he wants Jesus to live his life in you. Read for me Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 from the... Do you have the New English Bible? NEB. It is on it. But read it first, then go and look for it. Yeah, go ahead. Bruh. Peter. I thought you were about to read. Okay. I have been crucified with Christ.
It is no longer I
who lives,
but Christ lives,
but Christ is the one who lives in me.
And the life
which I now live
in the flesh,
I live by faith
in the Son of God
who loved me
and gave himself
for me. Oh yeah, read it now from NEB 70. Okay, can you read from CJB while she's opening CJB, Galatians 2:20. It is not a dual life. Now, this is something else you need to understand. Okay. I'm sensing that the Lord will have me wait. I will just confuse you if I'm saying that now. Oh yeah, quickly.
I have been crucified with Christ. The life I now live
is
not my life.
Do you understand what happens when you have been crucified with Christ? I'm coming. The life you now be living will not be your life again. If somebody dies, can he wake up tomorrow that he's going to walk? That means he didn't die now. It's either you die or you have not yet died. And if you have died, let us see that you have really died. What's the evidence that you have died? Cessation. Everything that you were before now stops. If there was a boyfriend before, what happens? The boyfriend's girlfriend has died. I remember when I got born again, and one of those girlfriends came. She even came to the house to wash plates, and hoping my mother would like her and all that. Said, sorry, your boyfriend has died. Of course, she was confused. And she was telling her. And this one that is here now, he's not your boy. He doesn't even know you. He's Jesus. And that same person that was promising you something last week. Amen. I remember another lady that we were in a party together. In fact, because I came with some military people at that time. So she was actually this man's boyfriend, but she went with me. So she believes, you know, she has this powerful guy that has contact with DMI. That's the Directorate of Military Intelligence at that time. Because I had some soldier friends. By the following week, the Lord met me. So when she said, I said, sorry, he has died. She couldn't understand it. Yes?
The life I now live is not my life.
The life that I now live is not my life.
But the life which Christ lives.
But the life which Christ lives
in me.
Can you see that now? That tells you that that Christ is who? A living person who can talk, who also has desires, just like those devils had desires. And his own desires is always to do what? To please God or to do God's will. Yes?
And my present bodily life
is lived by faith
in the Son of God,
in the Son of God
who loved me
and gave himself up for me. CJB.
When the Messiah was
executed
on the stake
as a criminal,
I was
executed. That's where Christian life starts from. Amen. The reason why a lot of people, all they have is just religion, is because they didn't die. They just fainted, and the moment you pour water on them, what happened? They woke up again. When you faint, you resuscitate. It is when you die that you resurrect. And you can never see somebody who comes back from the dead and behaves the same way again. Never. They will always want to change their ways. So, like I told you before, when you say, I accept Jesus, what are you saying? You are agreeing to die so that a new life can begin. And who is that new life? Jesus. Not that I will now start struggling. That's religion again. That's it. I'm born again. I would have answered you before. If not that I've changed. That's religion. Because Jesus will not tell anybody, I would have answered you. He will just simply leave them. Jesus doesn't need to tell you I've changed. You will see. Even you have eyes. You will see he has changed. Amen. Now, okay, go ahead.
So that my proud ego,
yes,
no longer lives.
Yes, that is the old me is no longer alive.
But the Messiah lives in me.
But the Messiah is the one that lives his life in me.
And the life I now live.
And the life that I now live. In my body,
I live by the same trusting faithfulness.
I live by the same faith
that the Son of God had.
That the Son of God had.
Who loved me?
You don't even understand that. The life that I'm living now, in the old English, what actually there is, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I know most modern translation says faith in the Son of God, but in the old English, what actually there is what to? I live by the faith of the Son of God. If it is Jesus that's living inside me, who will have faith inside of me? Eh? Who will pray inside of me? Can you see prayer made easy? Who is the person that will actually talk to God? It is Jesus. Who will pray for the sick? Who will pray for the diseased? There's no need to be afraid. There's no power. No, there's power inside. There's power where? Because Christ is the one living his life. And I thank God because in John 11, when he wanted to raise a dead body of 4 days, what did he say? Father, I thank you because you have heard me. If it's the one inside, that's how he prays. Father, I know you have heard me. Eh? And I thank you because you always hear me. That's the next thing he will say. And then he will look at the tomb and say, Lazarus, come forth. And the man will come out. He said, the moment you say, hey, you to go and do that now, does Jesus do things for sure? You think Jesus is like our modern pastors? I say, put the video very well. So you can see that Yaske Lego. I want to heal him. They are the ones that heal people. No. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency might be of God and not of us. Amen. He said, you have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That greater one is Christ. Amen. So, it is not a dual life where the old life now cohabits with the new life. That's another lie of religion. So, when you are coming to church, the Lord is in his temple. Let all mankind be silent before him. Amen. When I was asking the Lord about how to pray, and I wanted to be serious, you know? So he asked me a question. He said, if your father was a school principal, if you want to come to him, will you talk him? I'm not talking of in school. You understand? I'm not talking of in school. Just normally at home. Will you talk him? And then you wear your socks, and then you use formal language. That was how I understood prayer. I said, no. He said, how will you do it? I said, I'll come and I'll talk normally as my daddy. He said, that's how I want you to talk to me. And I got delivered. Because I wanted to get it right. So it made me understand that my trying to get it right looks as ridiculous as when you're approaching your daddy that is the headmaster or a principal and say, good evening, Mr. Oshoko. I'm sure the bad word that show for the ballet. What I put to him? I would like to crave your indulgence. That's how those high sounding prayer. That's how it sounds to God. It's disgusting. Because you are not real. And then who asked you to talk in? I said, you are a principal, sir. I said, also in my house. So in Hebrews 4:12, what did he say? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help us at every time of need. Don't come and you're like, Father, I just worship thee, for thou art great. One day I asked him, why are you speaking in Shakespearean English? I said, Lord, that's the way we're supposed to talk. He said, who told you? Amen. He wants you to come as his child. It's not a dual life. It's not that the old is still there, but when you come to church, that one will, you know, we're in church now, so we must be holy in church. God does not dwell in a building. The building God wants to dwell in is the human spirit. Amen. He doesn't dwell in buildings. So there's no need to start. And then when you now go outside, say, now we're not in church. I will change it for you. Eh? The reason why people do that is because they didn't die. They just made space to accommodate God. So after a while, what will God do for them? He will go out, because you know God is a jealous God. If we will not share his accommodation with anybody, will God and the devil be living in the same self-contained? How? So it's not a dual life. The Christian life is a new life. Not a dual life and not a hybrid of the old. No. It's not the old life that now quotes Bible. Mm-mm. It's a new life. And that new life is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where the person lives within, where the presence lives within, and where the power lives within. The person that will live above sin inside you is who?
Right.
Jesus. So it's not that you are struggling to be holy. But how now will I not sin? By simply allowing Jesus to live. You won't live in sin. Amen. Will Jesus go to places where, like a bar, a club? What would Jesus go and do in a club? You understand? Will he go to some websites? No. It's a very simple thing. Amen. Like I said before, so it's not a dual life where the old life now cohabits with the same new life, for it is impossible. A person can't be dead and alive at the same time, right? He can't have life and death at the same time. He can't be darkness and light at the same time. He must pick one. He can't be both flesh and spirit at the same time. He can't be on the broad way and on the narrow way at the same time. He has to choose one. To redeem us by paying the price of his precious blood so that he can have a body that will belong to him exclusively. And this is very important. Many of us have not understood it. When he redeems you, why he redeems you is so that he can own you exclusively. And God is a jealous God. The reason why many of us struggle through life is because we try to share us with other things where God's rights and ownership is not exclusive. What does it mean to be exclusive? Sorry? Him and him alone. Okay? Separated. Who else? Special. Not having anyone else or anything else. When you say it's an exclusive contract, that means you're not open to another business apart from this contract that you have entered into. He wants to own you exclusively. That's what he wants to do. I want us to ask questions in a few minutes so that what we have been learning since last week, okay? If there are questions, we can take it with now. But I want us to pray briefly first before we do that, okay? I want us to bow our heads to pray, and then you can ask your questions afterwards. I want us to ask the Lord. Lord, the primary reason why you came, let it become my reality in life. The primary reason why you came into our world, may that become my reality and may it become practical for me. May that be why I'm living and why I'm alive. In the name of Jesus. You have told me to put an end to my old life. It is to put my old life to death so that the new life, the life of Jesus Christ himself, can begin in me. Lord, help me in the name of Jesus that this reality will become my daily experience from henceforth. That this reality will become my daily experience from henceforth. Even in the name of Jesus Christ. Help me, precious Lord. Thank you for all that you have been teaching us. Since you have put an end to my old life, let me begin to experience the spirit, the nature, and the power of God. Let the spirit that dwells in me be the Holy Spirit. Let the nature that I have in my life be the nature of the Spirit of God and the nature of Christ. And let the power of God be what powers and empowers my life. Even in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Lord, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Okay, the remaining time that we have, I want to use it for question and answer. Okay? Yeah.
Okay.
Hallelujah.
So my question is, how do I make this knowledge?
Yeah.
How do I make the knowledge, this new knowledge,
yeah,
become a part of my daily
life? Okay, that's a very good question. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. That's the answer. Colossians 2, 6 to 7. That's the answer. And it says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, the problem is that when we know that this is what Christ has done, we don't make it our present reality, because we don't continue in it. So, as you have received Christ just as the Lord, that's the first thing that you should notice. You have received him as what? Well, the Lord. That is your Lord and your Master. And since he lives inside you, he's not far away in heaven. But Jesus has ascended to heaven. Yeah. But it's the same Jesus, omnipresent. He is. And he did promise he will live inside us. He did. So, he's not so far away in heaven that you can't be very close to him. So when you treat him as Lord and you put him first, and you let him lead in your life, what happens to you now? He controls you and he helps you through every day. So you won't only receive him as Lord. What's the next thing that will now happen? You will be rooted in him. That is, you keep learning more and more of this new life. And then you find out that when you are rooted, what happens to you? You become built up. After a while, you become established in the faith. At that level, nobody can confuse you again. And then you begin to abound in it. Now you are mature. And you will abound with thanksgiving. That's simply what you do. Thank you for the question. Very good question. Questions from last week, questions from this week. Yes? I'm sorry? You don't understand the answer. Which part is it that you don't understand? Everything. Okay. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Did you die? You are sure? Okay. Now, when you receive Jesus Christ, the very first thing to do is to receive him as Lord. People don't know that there's a difference between Jesus being your Savior and Jesus being your Lord. For many people, Jesus only saved them. Jesus is not their Lord. They still live their lives as if they own their lives, as if they control their lives. You understand now? So when you accept him as Lord, the very first thing is you hand over control to him. So you don't do things without what? Asking him. So it's only when you have gotten permission that's when you do those things. And remember that it's living inside, right? So if he's the one living inside, you allow him to live. That's actually the meaning of yielding to his lordship. How do you allow him to live? By knowing that you are dead, and that the life that is in you is whose life? Jesus' life. And he knows how to live his life. He knows how to do the will of God. Now, the more you feed on the word of God, the more you know him who is inside, and the more you know the Holy Spirit who teaches you about Jesus. Do you understand now? So when you are doing that, it says being rooted. You know, when a plant goes down when it's buried into the soil, does it go up first?
No.
What does it do first? It goes, it dies, and then it goes down, right? It starts taking root so that it can get nourishment. Then when it is rooted properly, what happens now? It springs up. You understand? So we won't even see it at all. We won't even know that something is going on underneath the ground. You understand? So it's the same principle when you become a Christian. The more you are spending time with your Bible in order to know Christ and to know what he will have you do per day, what's happening? You are being rooted. And the moment you are rooted, what happens now? A time will come, you now start developing. Okay? A time will come, you'll be established in the faith. That is, you'll be matured. Okay, so it's the whole process I'm explaining. Have you gotten it up to that point? Okay, so go and do, at least go and do up to that point. Okay? God bless you. Questions from last week. Question this week also. Is there any other question? On the secondary and the primary reasons why Jesus came. Yes.
Sometimes I forget.
Yeah.
How do I make the word of God my first consideration?
That's very good. You said sometimes you forget. You forget what?
Forget to bring him into the picture.
To bring Christ into the picture. That's good. What you do is, first of all, you reckon yourself that you are dead. That's Romans 6:11. To reckon is to consider and understand that your old life has ended and this is a new life. Then you also tie it with prayer. Lord, every time I forget you, insist to be known in me. When you want to quickly behave as you used to be before, he will tap you inside. Sir, I thought you were dead. You were dead. Ah, Lord, I'm sorry, I forgot. Brother Agbile used to talk about that too. That you want to do something, and then the Lord will say, I thought you died. What is this one that you are doing? Sir, Lord, I'm sorry, I forgot. You understand? So you can tie it to prayer. Lord, help me to constantly remember you every single day. That you are the life that lives within me. Okay? That's a very practical question. Thank you for that. Is there any other question? From last week, secondary reasons why Jesus came. And from this week, the primary reason why he came. Yes. You don't have a question. Okay. Is there any question? Sorry? Yes. Yes. I'll answer it with the Bible verse. Okay? Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. What does it say?
Therefore,
do not let sin reign in your mortal body. That you should obey it. In its lust. You know, many of us don't know that there's a difference between sin and sins. Sin is actually a person. That's it here. You see, when I was talking about the same person and personality, I gave you sin. And I wrote several scriptures. When you go to read those places, you will not see an action. You will see a personality in action. So when the Bible says, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. What's that saying? Don't let that old man behave as kings. If it was Amplified Classic that we read, excuse me, to say, do not let sin reign as kings in your bodies. Okay? Such that you should obey it in its lust. You know, I was telling you that these evil spirits have their own desires. You have not sinned when you do not yield to their desires. But because you don't know, you will think that, for instance, something is telling a man, look at that woman, look at that woman, look at that woman, and then you refuse to look. His sin becomes his sin. But the moment you look, you will share the sin. and share the reward too, or the punishment. Okay? So you must keep denying the flesh ownership, and you must keep allowing the Lord Jesus Christ, ownership. It's not an effort, though. It's just because you have not understood it. You see, the more you study the Bible, you will know the works or the fruits of sin, the kind of thing that the enemy will want to tempt you with. You will know them. You see, the Bible is so plain and so clear. Nothing is confusing. That's why, like I answered that the other time, it's very, 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 very important that you keep growing. And how do you grow? You grow by studying the Word of God and by praying on the Word of God that you're studying. If you're not studying the Word and you don't know what the Word is saying, Satan will deceive you. But the Word always exposes him. That's how the Word is the light. So it's not a struggle. Don't be confused. It is simply you letting Christ live and not allowing any devil to live inside you. Is that an effort? Satan will live inside. Already you have a problem. You understand? As long as Jesus lives inside you, Satan may stay outside and be telling you to come or to come down. Come to this level of sin. You know, you are the one that will tell yourself, I want to be above you. So I will stay above with the Lord. You will never gain anything by sinning. Instead, you will lose everything by sinning. That's what people don't understand. They think they can quickly sin and then come back. A single sin can set you back 10 years. Just one. That what you will lose by that one sin is 10 years. Is it worth it? No. Thank you. That's a very good question.
Sir,
yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
I shouldn't have
really... It's not you. You know, I was telling you the other time that, see, spirits are everywhere. And yet, angels protect you. Eh? If they say something and you refuse them, whatever they are saying, the angels with their swords, they tighten the circle around you. When they say something, suggest something from outside of you, not within you. But you see, how they lie is this. They will say, I want to touch a girl. But so what you hear is a statement. But what you hear inside your spirit is, I want to touch a girl. So you think it's you. No. It's not every voice that you hear inside of you is you. It could be your human spirit. It could be the Holy Spirit. And it could be a demon spirit. And it's very simple to know how. Would the Spirit of God ask you to do something that is selfish, self-centered, sinful? No. Or something that will not glorify God? No. So whenever you have any of such thoughts, you know. And then some thoughts could be really perverse. Then you know thoughts that are demonic. You know, something will just come into your mind that is just so grotesque. And I just know, you know, so hideous. Because you just know that this must be devilish. And then you rebuke it in the name of Jesus and silence that voice. Okay? Don't just do like, I can't control my mind. It's only a madman that can't control his mind. You can control your mind. How? By putting your will to work. I won't think in this way. Okay? The Bible tells us in Philippians 4:8 how we should think. You understand? So you can even quote that. Or you can even meditate on that scripture until it becomes part and parcel of you. You understand? So because something is telling you, and I want something now, and it doesn't mean it is you. Don't own what does not belong to you. Will you embrace an unclean spirit? So that they suggested something doesn't mean you are the one. It's because you don't know. Those things are suggested to me too. But, you know, me, I've grown. And I know them. So when I hear those kind of things, so you think I won't know you? Will you shut up in the name of Jesus? And then they will keep quiet. But the Bible is not something you come to visit once in a while. Mm-mm. It's something you live by. Sometimes you can also answer them by what the Word of God says. They hate hearing the Word of God. Because that's the law in the spirit realm. You understand? That's like the constitution of the spirit realm. So they hate hearing it. Because they can't do anything against it. Bible says you can't do anything against the truth, but for the truth. Okay? So have you gotten it now? Okay. Going to party, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I thought like maybe my
No. See, that's why we carry a cross daily. You know, Jesus said, if anybody wants to follow me, you must deny yourself. That is, you must be put to death. Carry your cross. You don't know why we carry a cross. It is a daily reminder for us, and it's a daily what do you call that word? Announcement to the world that we died. And that it was on this cross that an end came to my life. The person that lives in me is now a new man. You didn't love party as much as I used to love parties. Can you imagine? You know you can't believe now. You can't believe. But that's the way it was. I used to really be a party freak. But when I met the Lord, and I know the difference between what is true and what is false, those things died a natural death. Because there's nothing in a party. It's a congregation of evil spirits. And what am I going to that kind of place to go and do? You understand? Thank you. Very good question. Thank you. Okay? May the Lord bless you. May His face shine upon you. As this new year starts, may you grow in the knowledge of God. May you grow and proceed in practical victory in your Christian life. May your relationship with the Lord deepen this year, even in the name of Jesus. And may the Lord answer every question. May He give peace to every troubled mind. And may He bring victory in every battle. Even in the name of Jesus. May the peace of God be with you. God bless you.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about a transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, please contact us on 0814-0399-782. 0818-7282-363. 0803-3483-058. Or visit our website at www.reformationplatform.com. God bless you.